We're in a series called Written in Red, The Gospel According to Jesus. And today the message is Taking the Plunge. I guess we're just kind of a week late on this one, but that's just the way it goes. Last week we looked at the Lord Jesus, and his first recorded words were in Luke chapter 2, verse 49, where he said, remember his parents had gone to Jerusalem to present him for his bar mitzvah when he became a man. And on the way back, the parents were all excited, you know, and they were celebrating and everything. They looked around, and Jesus wasn't with them. So they had to go back looking for him. They finally find him in the temple, and they come up to him, and Jesus says to them, why are you looking for me? Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? And then he returned to Nazareth with them, was obedient unto them. And the Bible says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and favor with man. The 18 silent years of the life of Jesus that followed were years of mental and physical and spiritual preparation for his work as the Messiah and as the Savior of the world. Now remember that Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like Jesus as we are changed into his glorious image. Now that's us as Christians. We're being changed. We're supposed to be like Jesus. And I said last week, because God is making us like Jesus, then we ought to grow like Jesus. Amen? And he grew in those four areas. Spiritually, or intellectually, that's wisdom. Physically, that's stature. Spiritually, that's favor with God. And socially, that's favor with man. So he grew in those four areas. And God expects us to do the same thing. We're supposed to be growing in our Christian life. All right? And I said last week also that life basically comes down to two choices. Number one, your own will. You do what you want to do in yourself. James chapter 4, James said, those who do their own thing, plan their own life, don't understand that life is short and it is best to do what God wants. Wow. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Amen? Thank you. Thank you. Because when you live outside of God's will, folks, you're on your own. You're treading water. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And you can't expect God to answer your prayers. You can't expect him to give you direction. You can't expect him to calm your heart. You can't expect him to comfort your soul if you're doing your own thing and leaving God out of it. On the other hand, the other, of course, is being in God's will. That's the safest place to be, folks. It is the right place to be, and most of all, it's the best place to be. Now, here in Matthew chapter 3, this is the first recorded appearance of the Lord since we saw him in the temple at 12 years of age. And quite coincidentally, they're the second recorded words of the Lord Jesus. So let's look at Matthew chapter 3. I'm going to be reading beginning in verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized of you, and do you come to me? And here are the words of Jesus, the second recorded words. Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. So John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Father, we're thankful for the word. We pray that the Holy Spirit would sink it deep into our hearts, that we would understand and then apply and follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me begin by asking you a question. Why is it that Jesus took this particular time to identify his mission and make it known? Anybody? Well, I'll answer that question. Pastor, I'll answer. Thank you. Jesus came because John had completed his work. John was on the way down. Remember, John said, I must decrease, he must increase. So it was getting to be that time, and so Jesus was coming into his own. And when he came to John for baptism, John first said, no, wait a minute, hold on. You need to be baptizing me. I'm not supposed to be baptizing you. Now, the thing is, John knew the kind of life Jesus lived. He knew that if anyone was holy, it was Jesus. You remember now, they were cousins. They grew up in the same environment. So if anybody was going to say anything bad about him, it would be his cousin who wanted the spotlight. Remember, John was in the wilderness. He was baptizing. Thousands were coming to him to be baptized. And yet he said, I must decrease, he must increase. Jesus said to John, let it be so now. It's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Now that phrase, fulfill all righteousness, means to do every ordinance of God, to take care of every ordinance of God. Jesus didn't come to confess his sins to John, that's for sure, and to be baptized signifying his repentance. He didn't do that. Jesus didn't have any sin to be repented of, right? Isn't that what 2 Corinthians 5:21 Paul said? And Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us. Jesus never sinned. And when Jesus presented himself for baptism, he was declaring some very important facts. And here's number one. This, you're not taking notes yet. I'll get to the part where you take notes, okay? I'll let you know. He was baptized to identify with John's ministry. Mark chapter 1, verse 7 said, John said, after me comes the one more powerful than I. The straps of his sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you in water, but he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Jesus came to John to place the Father's divine seal on what John had been doing. He wanted to make sure everyone understood that. John had been preaching to the people the message, the kingdom of God is at hand, the Messiah is coming. Jesus came to be baptized from John to say, I am the Messiah. I am here. Here I am. So, number one, he was identifying with John's ministry. Secondly, he was baptized so that John would know he was the Messiah. In John 1:33, John said, I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, when you see the Holy Spirit descending and resting upon someone, he is the one you're looking for. He's the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And we just read that in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The Holy Spirit comes down as a dove, and we hear the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. So we have Jesus being baptized so that John would know he was the Messiah. The third thing was to signal that he was beginning his public ministry. It was a public declaration that he was, in fact, the promised Messiah and that he was the Savior. And he was the one sent to reconcile God and man. Jesus' ministry just lasted a little over 3 years. And the interesting thing was he started his ministry by being baptized. And when he ends his ministry, he calls on his disciples, or he calls on his apostles and his disciples to make other disciples. And what's the next thing they said? Make disciples, baptize those disciples, teach those disciples. So he began his ministry with a baptism. As he is ascending into heaven, he says, you go out and do the same thing. You baptize people. That alone should tell us baptism is a big deal, right? There's something about that. Not because, though, of what some people think. There are really two diverse camps, and let's hope that we're in the center. Okay, there's one over here and one over here. On one side, we have a group that says baptism is necessary to go to heaven, and it is a big deal. That's one group. On the other end is baptism is not necessary to go to heaven, and it's not a big deal. Hopefully, we're right in the center here, because half of this side it's true, and half of this side it's true. Baptism is not necessary to go to heaven. But it is a big deal. It really is a big deal. Now, folks, we're a Baptist church. Amen? Amen. Preach it, brother. All right. So I looked up the definition. Webster defines a Baptist. You ready for this? This is worth writing down because next time somebody asks you why you're a Baptist, I'll give it to you a little later. You can just listen at this one. A member of a Protestant denomination holding that baptism should be given only to believers after confession of faith and by immersion rather than sprinkling. Amen? That's what it is. Baptism is important not because we Baptists say it is, because that's what the Bible says. In fact, the Bible talks about baptism 74 times. 74 different times it's talking about baptism. So it's not a Baptist idea, it's a Bible idea. You see, in the days of Jesus, the word that I'm going to give you, the Greek word, baptizo, was used all the time. It meant to immerse, to dip, or to dunk. It was used to describe ships at sea, or cloth, when people would dye cloth, how they would put it under the water. In fact, one Jewish historian even described the man who was murdered by baptism. Huh? No. In other words, he was drowned. He was drowned. I'm sure he wasn't sprinkled to death, right? He just wasn't. And for a long period of time, that word baptizo had no religious significance at all. I mean, women would baptize their dishes. Hey, that's everyday stuff. Then one day, a man shows up named John, and he begins baptizing people. Huh? Mark 1:4 says, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. John said that baptism was an outward sign of an inward repentance. Outward sign of inward repentance. In fact, he became so identified with this new thing that he was doing, he was called John the Baptizer. And of course, we shorten it down now, it's John the Baptist, right? And this is just for your information. You know, when somebody's baptized as a Methodist, they're Methodist, right? And when you're baptized as a Catholic, you're Catholic. Or Presbyterian, you're Presbyterian, right? We all understand that. Who baptized Jesus? John the Baptist? All right. Praise the Lord. I'm just kidding here, folks, okay? John did something in a religious setting that had never, ever been done before. He was baptizing people who wanted to repent of their sins and place their faith in God. In fact, John 3 says, "And after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now John was also baptizing in Aon near Salem, because there was much water there, and they all came to be baptized." Now, why did John have to have much water? Why was that? I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot to sprinkle people, right? I could take a couple of cups of water and baptize the whole crew here. I mean, you know, you just go and it's done. But that's not the reason for much water. In fact, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water." Out of the water. You got to go down into the water in order to come up out of the water, right? Okay. Well, are you getting the kind of the gist of where I'm going here? Heading for something. So, now you got to remember the Christian church, at least Baptists, have two ordinances that Jesus instituted. Number one was the Lord's Supper. Number two, baptism. I'll get to that in a little bit. But before his ascension, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said, "Lead the people to the Lord, baptize the people, teach them to lead people to the Lord, to baptize people, to teach them to lead them, you know, etc., etc., etc." Over and over again. You're to do it everywhere, and you're to do it till the end of the age. So there's never a time we should stop not trying to lead people to the Lord, not trying to get people to understand what this life is about and what the life to come is about. So, for no other reason, baptism is important because Jesus commanded it. And what did Jesus say about commandments? "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments if you love me." So Christian baptism is the means by which a person makes a public profession of faith and discipleship. It illustrates, and I think in a very dramatic sense, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And at the same time, it illustrates our death to sin and our new life. It's all illustrated. Being submerged in the water represents our death to sin. Emerging from the water represents our cleansing. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried with him through baptism into death. Just as Christ was raised from dead through the glory of the Father, we too live a new life. For if we have been united with him in his death, we will certainly be united with him in his resurrection. So there you have it. The death of Jesus, we were baptized in his death. The burial, we were buried. Buried. In the resurrection, we were raised from the dead. Folks, when you bury a corpse, you don't go dig a hole, put him in there, take a couple of shovels full of dirt, and just throw him in there and let him bake in the sun. You don't do that, do you? You cover him completely up beneath the ground. That's what a baptistry is supposed to represent. It is sort of a liquid tomb. You're being placed under the water, buried beneath the water, and then you're raised. Now, Christian baptism is an act of obedience after salvation. It is not a requirement for salvation. The Bible shows us the order of events. A person believes in the Lord Jesus, then he is baptized. Acts 2:41, they that gladly received his word were baptized. A person is never baptized in order to be saved. A person is baptized because they are saved. And they want to show everyone that they have been saved. Every new believer in Jesus should desire to be baptized as soon as possible. Everywhere the gospel is preached, people who are drawn to faith, they're baptized. In every country around the world, that's the order. Believe, baptized. Why is it here? It's different. I don't understand. Well, yes, I do, but it's a lengthy explanation, and come to me afterwards, and I'll ask you what it is. Now, you ready for your notes? Here we get over on our notes here. Because I want to give you four words that show baptism is really a big deal. It's a very big deal. Number one, you taking notes? You need to write this down. If you're not taking notes, write this down. Baptism is a means of identification. It is a means of identification. I mean, Jesus wasn't a sinner. He didn't need to become a believer. I mean, he's the one we're supposed to believe in, right? Hello? Is this on? Amen. Okay, thank you. He wasn't professing his faith in God. Folks, he was God in the flesh. So why was he baptized? He was identifying himself with us and giving us an example of what we should do once we have trusted him as the Lord and Savior of our lives. Baptism is God's physical picture of the good news. It pictures the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's a means of identification as we identify with what Jesus did for us. And here's number two. Baptism is a way of publication. Now, in the New Testament, profession of faith was not walking down an aisle and shaking the pastor's hand. That's not the way it happened in the New Testament. I mean, back in the when the New Testament was being formed. That's not the way it happened. You know when people knew about it? They came, they professed their faith, and they got baptized. You remember the jailer? Acts chapter 6, is it Acts chapter 16? Yes. The Philippian jailer. Here's Paul and Silas, and they're in chains, and all of a sudden the chains are gone, and the jailer gets so worked up because, see, back then, if you lost your prisoner, they took your life. So he's so overwhelmed. And Paul said, don't worry, we're all here. We're all here. And the jailer said, sir, what must I do? And Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And yeah, your house will be saved too. And then you read on and it says, and later, once they fixed up Paul and Silas and tended to their wounds and all of that, the whole household got baptized. Woo, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's wonderful stuff. So baptism is a means of identification. Baptism is a means of publication. Listen, when I got married, I put on a wedding ring, right? I put it on. And I didn't put it on because I was married. I didn't put it on to get married. I put it on so that people will know I was married, right? And I wear this ring today to show I'm a married man. Now, I could really take this ring off. I'm not gonna, but I could take this ring off and I could stick it in my pocket. I'd still be married. In fact, when I go play golf, this is very precious. So I, most of the time, if I remember, I take it off and I give it to Rochelle and I have an alternate. I have an alternate one that I slip on when I play golf. And that's because I want people to know I belong to her. You know? I really do. I want people to understand that I am married to the most wonderful person in the whole world. Now, you may have a difference of opinion. You can come up afterwards and apologize. That'd be okay. And just as a wedding ring shows that you're married, baptism shows that you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and that you belong to him. I read about a little boy who went to church, and while he was in church, he went to children's church, and one Sunday morning he gave his heart and his life to the Lord Jesus, accepted him as his Savior. And the teacher told him that after church, I want you to go to the pastor and tell him that you were saved and you want to be baptized. So the little boy said, okay. So after the service was over, he went to the pastor, but he was so excited he forgot the words he was supposed to say. So he went to the pastor and he said, Pastor, I've been saved and I want to be advertised. Well, folks, that's what baptism is. It is an advertisement for people to let them know that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want the whole world to know. Last Sunday, I had the real privilege of baptizing Kim. It was at our Aloha picnic. Thank you, Ann, for all of that. That was so wonderful. The picnic we had, if you missed it, boy, did we have a grand time. We had food coming. We had a lot of food. And it was just a great time, and we praise the Lord for that. And I told Kim to begin, we tested the water. Really cold. And so I explained to Kim the way this was going to be. I said, Kim, now I want you to go out and find a real secure spot, and you stand out there, and then I'll just tell you, dunk under, and then you come back up, and then we'll be. She said, no, that's not going to work. We're not going to do it that way. So we both went out there, and quite frankly, when I got out to where she was, my legs were numb. I don't know about you. Yes, Kim's legs were numb. It was cold, folks. It was really cold out there. And so Kim came out there to be baptized, not because she was wanting to be saved. She got saved several months ago. So when she got there, I asked her two things. I said, have you been saved? Have you trusted Jesus? She said, yes. I said, do you want to be baptized? She said, yes. Boom, bang. Because it was cold, folks. It was cold. But praise the Lord, and we had applause from everyone on the. It was just a wonderful time, and I thank the Lord for that. Last Sunday was Kim's advertisement for her salvation. There you go. So baptism is a means of identification. It is a way of publication. Thirdly, it's an act of obedience. It is an act of obedience. It pictures the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And what it pictures is not only what Jesus has done for us, but what Jesus has done to us. As a result of believing Jesus, we have been raised and transformed into brand new people. And folks, the only baptism that pictures that is immersion, is dunking, is getting people under the water. Now, suppose you were asked, a lady, you know, I'd like to see a picture of your husband. So she gets around in her purse and she pulls out a picture of a bulldog. You go, she's married to a dog? I mean, you know, come on. I mean, some of us guys really aren't the best looking, but dogs? I don't think so. And you say, that's really not a picture of your husband, is it? She says, no, but you know, pictures really don't matter. Excuse me? Pictures really do matter, don't they? Because if she had shown me a picture of anybody but her husband, she's not showing me a real picture of her husband, right? So the picture really makes a statement. And that's what baptism is. It's a picture of what has happened inside, brought about by the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So it's an act of obedience. And here's number four. It is a visible expression of renewal. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul said, "Throw off your old sin nature and your former way of life. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." As I said, there are two ordinances in the church, the Lord's Supper and baptism. The Lord's Supper points us to class of the Lord Jesus, right? The death, the burial of the Lord Jesus. His bread, the bread represents his body. The juice represents his blood. But baptism also points to the Lord Jesus. It points to the fact that when a person gives their heart to Christ, that old person dies. Sins are forever buried in the depths of the sea, never to be remembered again. And lots of us need to understand that, because Satan will beat you to death with things you used to do. But like we saw in that trailer, you're done, Satan. Jesus defeated you, and I don't have to listen to all of these things that happened in the past because he forgave me of all my sins. If you're here this morning and you've trusted the Lord, he has forgiven you of every one of your sins, every one of them. So we need to draw near to God through obedience and through faith. And oh yeah, we should be baptized as a start of our new life. Now, folks, everybody here is in one of the following groups, okay? I'm going to give them to you. The first group is you've never been baptized because you've never been saved. Paul told us, "For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it's by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." These folks have never done what God requires. They have not turned from their sin. They have not asked for forgiveness from the Lord. That's one group. Here's a second group. They were christened, or they were sprinkled as an infant, but they have not been saved. Remember, make disciples, then baptize disciples. Acts 2:37, they that gladly received his word were baptized. The scripture is very clear that those who were baptized, number one, understood why they were being baptized. And that's key, that we understand why we're being baptized. Here's a third group. They've been immersed, but they're not saved. Whoops. Jesus said in Matthew 15:18, "These are the people that say they honor me by doing what is commanded, but their hearts are far from me." See, one of the reasons people struggle spiritually is that they've never done what they were supposed to do inside. They did it outwardly, but they haven't done it inside. There's another group. They've been saved, but they've not been biblically baptized or immersed. And remember I said, if you don't write a lot of scripture down, write James 4:17 down. If you know to do right and you don't do it, it's a sin. If you know to do right and don't do it, it's a sin. How many of you here were in the service? Several of us. Okay. How many of you have seen either on TV or you've actually seen a parade? Most of us, right? You ever noticed when the groups of people come? Let me back up a little bit. I remember when I went into the Army. The first thing they taught us, the very first thing they taught us, was how to walk. You know, right? That's what they taught us. They said, everybody's in a line, you know, you put your arm out to make sure everybody's in a straight line. That never worked. But anyway, you know, because the people are tall and so anyway. So you get in a straight line. And then the very first thing they teach you, all right, we're going to march. We all start with our left foot. You ready? Forward, march. And you're supposed to take a step with your left foot. Invariably, there's somebody that starts with their right foot. And the drill sergeant will say something like, your other left, your other left. Huh? Because when you're marching and everybody's left, and your foot is right, you're out of step, right? Well, that's what it is with baptism. If you don't start out right, how are you ever going to get right? And there are many who have been saved, but they've never been immersed. That's an obedience issue, isn't it? Didn't Jesus say, suffer to be so, for such is righteousness? That's what we're supposed to be doing here. And here's the fifth group. You've been saved, you've been biblically baptized, you're rejoicing in the Lord, you're loving the Lord, you're obedient to the Lord. That's the best place to be, by the way. Hello? If you're someplace else, you ought to get where this is, because that's the greatest feeling in the world, to know that no matter what happens in your life, God's got it. You don't have to worry about things. God's got it. You don't have to think, where's my next meal coming from? God's got that. I will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Everything that we need as Christians, God has. That's exciting to be there. That's the best place to be. So Jesus' baptism was an example for us. Let me literally give you Matthew 3:15. This is from the Greek, literally. Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. Does that tell you that Jesus believes that baptism is required to be saved? No, but it is the first step of obedience. So let me leave you with two thoughts here. Number one, we must be saved by trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus in order to go to heaven. Amen? Amen. But secondly, we must be baptized, immersed, to be obedient. So a question, are you saved? Are you biblically baptized? My prayer is that you'll do what God's calling you to do, whatever it is. Because that's the only way we have the joy and the peace and the calmness and the love and the compassion of the Lord Jesus is when we're obedient to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your love. We're grateful for your word. We thank you that the Lord Jesus gave us an example of obedience in our lives and what our first steps ought to be. And Lord, I pray whatever the need is this morning that the Holy Spirit ministers in a very special way. If there's anyone here that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that's their first step. Today is the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. Maybe there's somebody here who is a Christian, but they've not been biblically baptized. Today is the day. Now is the time. Lord, we're so thankful for everyone here. We just pray your blessings. Guide us in all that we do, and we'll be sure and praise you in Jesus' name.